Look, I know I'm dirty and everything, but I just want to talk to you just a minute. I just want a little bit of your time.
Hey, girl.
Welcome to the Trash Man Investor Podcast.
I am your garbage man.
Now, here's your host, Michael Groom.
I come around your house each and every day.
Hello once again, and welcome to episode 4 of the Trash Man Investor Podcast. My name is Michael Gruner, and I am the Trash Man Investor. First of all, today I'd like to thank you for the feedback I've been receiving. It hasn't been much, but there has been some, and for those of you who listen regularly and let me know, thank you for that. I appreciate it. And as always, I would love to hear from you, so please contact me at askmike@trashmaninvestor.com or visit my blog at www.trashmaninvestor.com and you can comment there as well. So I'd like to move on. Today we have a special guest with us, hopefully one of many guests on the show, and I would love to hear from you what you think of the show and what you think of our guest and the interview so I could tailor future interviews to address what it is you want to hear and hopefully in a format you would like to hear it. So, without further ado, I'd like to welcome Jason Hartman. He is the president of Platinum Properties Investor Network in Costa Mesa, California. Jason, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Michael, thanks for having me on.
Now, Jason, I'm sure many of our listeners would love to hear how a successful real estate investor like you got started in investing.
Yeah, great question, Michael. Well, maybe we should talk about how we met first, and then I'll tell you how we got started, but I don't know if you're going to talk about that. Basically, you're a listener to our podcast, and you had sent me a nice note, which I very much appreciate. So we kind of got hooked up, and I'm glad to be on your show. Let me talk to you about how I got started. Basically, when I was 16 years old, I read a book called Nothing Down by Robert Allen, probably someone you're familiar with. I had read it and then sort of put it down, and my mom picked it up and read it herself and started, I was in high school, so I didn't really get into it. It sounded kind of interesting to me, but she became interested and started going to real estate seminars and spending quite a bit of money going to seminars and learning about real estate investments. And about 6 months after she got her real estate license, I decided to get mine, and that was precipitated because there was this big weekend real estate seminar here in Orange County where I was finishing up high school by then, and she had said, "Why don't you come to the seminar?" And I did. It started on Friday night. It was in Anaheim, and I heard these speakers get up there and got excited about all these different ideas, and I was just thinking about getting started, going to college, and all that kind of stuff. And I brought a bunch of my high school buddies to the seminar. It was a full weekend, and they all went Friday night, and then on Saturday, only one was left who was wanting to see the Saturday part of the seminar with me. And I stayed, and I went for the whole weekend and heard every speaker there, and it was really interesting. And I thought, these guys are talking kind of a foreign language to me. And I thought if I just got my real estate salesperson's license, I would learn a lot of the basics, and then I could apply it to investing and learn a lot more. So I went ahead and, I had started college, and also concurrently with that, I started taking all the real estate license courses. And I found that they were really pretty easy. They didn't have much to do with the real world, but I went ahead and got my real estate license, and I took a job just part-time while I was going to college at Century 21. And I went through all their training, and, back then in the old days, their training was actually pretty good. I liked it. I learned a lot there. And I started selling foreclosure properties. And here we're in the 80s, and the interest rates when I got in the business were 14%, and everybody thought that was a bargain coming Wow. off of it's amazing, isn't it?
Sure is.
Coming off of the Jimmy Carter hangover, where interest rates went up to about 20, 21% in some cases. So the market was starting to get a little bit active, and there were foreclosures out there, and I was selling foreclosure properties. And as a salesperson, Michael, I did really quite well at it. My first month, I sold 5 properties, and I just found that in real estate, it really wasn't that difficult in the sales side of the business being a broker, because so few people are actually working in real estate. There are a lot of people who have their license and say they're in real estate, but relatively small number that are really working hard, or treating it like a business as it should be treated, in my opinion. And right. So I did really well. And shortly after that, I went to RE/MAX, and then I worked at RE/MAX for 12 years. And I was buying investment properties all along the way. I bought my first property from a client. I was 20 years old and made good money on that, made good money on the next one, kept buying properties, and did very well in the sales side of the business as well, and learned a lot from my clients over the years. And I worked at RE/MAX for 12 years, and then I was one of their top people and did quite well at that. And then I decided to take the crazy plunge 11 years ago of buying my own company. I bought a failing real estate office, and it was, at times, it was a real struggle. I mean, I don't think many people appreciate how difficult it is at times to start a business, to fund a business, to keep a business going. One of the things I say to our investors in our seminars is that if you think tenants are difficult, try employees. You know, employees are complicated, and businesses are complicated. They have a lot of moving parts. And, you know, there's an old saying, you never really know someone until you marry them or employ them. And I think right. That's true, because when you have employees, they have stuff going on in their life, and they have good and bad things. And as their employer, you really have to be sensitive to all of that. And sure. Things take them out of work and make them unproductive from time to time. And you have to counsel them and help them out. And so ran that business and finally took it independent a few years after I bought it. It was a franchise originally, and then sold it several years after that to a big national real estate company. And then I started a new business which deals strictly with investors, which has been a really fun ride. And that's what we're doing now and how we met. So that's the story.
Yeah, that's right.
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell. A very large nutshell.
A large nutshell.
When you first started out, one thing that I'm sure that some of my listeners today are running into is they love the idea of real estate investing, but don't have the cash on hand, for example, to do it. So when you first started out, how much money were you putting your own money down? Were you borrowing money? How did that work?
I think the best example of that one, Michael, are my first two properties. The first property I bought was a property I had purchased from a client named Jim. And Jim had bought this property from me, and then a few months later, he just decided he didn't like the property, so he decided he wanted to sell it, and he called me up, and I said, hey, you know, Jim, I'll just buy it from you myself. And I thought, this will be my opportunity to buy my very first rental property at age 20, with no money down. I did pay a small amount in closing costs. As I recall, it was about $1,600. And it was a little one-bedroom condo in Huntington Beach. And I actually did quite well with that property. I made some good money on it. I sold it too soon. I should have kept it. Like, I should have kept a lot of my properties, but
sure.
I've got quite a few. I should have kept more of them, though. That's the one advice I will give your listeners. But I wanted the cash, and you know, I was pretty young back then and sort of instant gratification-minded. And I had actually had a bad experience with that property. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm contradicting myself. Let me delve into that a little bit. The good sure. experience was that I purchased it with essentially no money down, paid a little bit of closing costs. And the way I structured the deal was pretty much Robert Allen-esque. And he wrote the book Nothing Down. He was kind of one of the original people in that field. And then I had put a tenant in the property, and I had to evict the tenant. It is the only eviction I have ever had in 21 years as a landlord.
Wow.
I've had to evict someone. So I think a lot of this concern, Michael, about the tenant side of the business is really somewhat overblown. There are bad experiences out there, and they do happen from time to time. I really have never lost any real money on a tenant except this one time, my very first rental property. And
that's a great track record.
You know, it turns out that I had to evict the tenant, and I had a bad tenant experience, But when I sold the property, I had a very positive sales experience because buying it for virtually nothing at all, I had sold it, and as I recall, I made about a $30,000 profit on that very first deal. And I thought, you know, if you calculate your return on investment, your ROI, that is a fantastic ROI, putting virtually nothing down, tiny bit for closing cost, and getting 30 grand back. And not much time had passed. I think it was only 7 or 9 months I had sold the property really quickly.
Oh, and, wow, that's great.
Yeah, and then I bought my next property, which was actually a property that I lived in. So I moved out of the house at this time. I think by now I was 21 when I purchased the second property. And it was a condo in Irvine, and it was a two-bedroom, two-bath condo. And I bought it brand new from the developer, and it was $102,000. So for round numbers' sake, let's call this a $100,000 property.
Okay.
And I had obtained a 90% loan-to-value, so 10% down. But the trick was that I didn't use my own 10% of my money. I didn't really have much money. So I borrowed that 10% from my grandmother. And I used grandma's money that she, you know, was very conservatively doing this sort of old-fashioned thing, had it in the bank, et cetera. And right. I bought that property for $100,000, and I sold it 11 months later, Michael, for about $160,000. I paid my grandmother back the $10,000 I borrowed from her, and I had, think about it, nothing down again. And then I turned around and on zero made $60,000 gross. Of course, I had a little closing cost there, but that's insignificant, really. My return on investment there in 11 months was about 600%. And I thought, you know, I love real estate. This is a great thing. So
yeah, you got bit by the bug and bit quite a bit in those first couple deals, it sounds like.
I really did. And I tell you, to this point, in 21 years as being a real estate investor, I have never lost money on a deal.
That's
now,
fantastic.
There are times, had I sold a property during a lull in the market, had I cashed out then, I would have lost money. But I never did. Every single property I've ever had so far, knock on wood, has made me money, and some of them very good money. And not just the amount of money, but the return on investment. And currently, I own properties now. I'm very diversified. I have properties all over the USA in 11 states and 17 different cities. And one of my core beliefs now with Platinum Properties Investor Network, and I talk about this on the Creating Wealth podcast, is diversify, diversify, diversify. Have all of your eggs or most of your eggs in the very best, most historically proven asset class, income properties, the one that has created wealth for tens of millions of people, but diversify geographically. Because Michael, as a listener to my show, you know that all real estate is local.
Absolutely.
And there's no such thing as a national housing market, right?
Absolutely.
Good stuff.
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
When you were first starting out, and it didn't sound like you had very many of these, but were there any obstacles that you did have to overcome in those early years?
That's a great question. The biggest obstacle I'd say that an investor has to overcome is, actually, there's a great quote, and it's in the back of Robert Allen's book, Creating Wealth, which is another great book he wrote. I believe it's by Jack Parr, and he says, "My life seems like one giant obstacle course with me as the chief obstacle." And I would say that for myself and for every investor out there, probably the biggest obstacle is the person in the mirror. It's ourselves. And so what do I mean by that? Well, the biggest obstacle we have is fear. And I believe it was Dennis Waitley, another big mentor of mine. He's written several books. He's a great author. I talk about him on my podcast a lot. But Dennis Waitley, I believe, he makes fear into an acronym, and he says it's false education appearing real, F-E-A-R. So fear is the biggest obstacle, I'd say. It's all of the talk inside our own head, our self-talk, talking us out of things. It's our friends and family and our relatives and the people we know that have not done it themselves. It always seems to be those people are the naysayers, the people that are disappointed with their own life, mad at themselves for not taking a risk. You know, years have gone by and life and financial opportunity has largely passed them by. And so those are the people that are always trying to give us advice, and they're not qualified to give advice. So why should we listen to them? We should, you know, if we want advice, we should look at someone who's done it, someone who's actually been in the arena, someone who has made it happen. That's the person I want to take advice from. So, you know, fear has kept me, and I, you know, I've invested and I've made a lot of money. I've made millions of dollars as an investor, but there are deals I should have done that I didn't do, and I could have done a lot more. And I just try to always keep my fear in check. Use it as a guide to make you somewhat suspicious, and reasonably so, but don't let it overwhelm you. Don't let it control your life, because if you're fearful, you will never do anything in life. And whether it's you see this beautiful woman you want to go talk to and you don't talk to her because you're afraid, if it's investing in a great real estate deal, you're afraid, hey, the market's never right. I have this great poem that I like to read to remind myself. It's called The Reluctant Investor's Lament. And it just talks about how fear paralyzes you. And if you buy smart properties and they make sense the day you buy them, they are sustainable investments, and you just hold on, time really solves all the problems when it comes to investing in income properties. So inflation, tax benefits, income that's created from the properties, rising population both in the U.S. and around the world, there's a lot of good reasons to be owning income properties, especially in the form of housing.
Sure, absolutely. And I know you do talk a lot about the current inflation and how what we're told by the government isn't always exactly true.
I'd even go a step further than that, Michael. I'd say it's ridiculously not true.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. Just the other day, I noticed how the price of eggs had probably doubled. And I don't think it's because there's less chickens.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's a very good point. You know, the government has big incentives to malign the inflation numbers, largely because government employees and government entitlement programs such as Social Security are indexed to inflation. So the lower the inflation rate appears to be, and that is really just a big appearance, the less the government has to spend in cost of living increases for the various programs.
Right. Now, you mentioned in your I guess it would be your history, that you had created a brokerage devoted to investors, so the Platinum Properties Investor Network.
Right.
Can you describe a little bit your philosophies there and what exactly it is you do there?
Sure. Basically, what we do is we are a company that specializes in working 100% exclusively with real estate investors. We kind of like to help people do a little bit of planning around their real estate investments and help them analyze their risk tolerance, their time horizon, their investment goals. Everybody has different investment goals. Some want cash flow. Some are looking for capital appreciation. Others are looking for tax benefits. And so we want to help people create a real estate plan, kind of like a financial planner would do, but with a better product. I mean, sure. I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody. I do not know one person who has created any real wealth starting with very little money in the stock market, in stocks, bonds, right, or mutual funds. I know a lot of people who have lost money in these investments. And I know at the same time, with no one that I personally know, and I know a lot of people, I've got like 11,000 contacts in my Outlook address book. So I know a lot of people. And I don't know anyone who's gotten rich from investing in Wall Street stuff. I mean, that seems like a rigged game that is available only for the insiders. But for the rest of Main Street America, and I really look at this as Wall Street versus Main Street. You know, I live in Main Street. You live on Main Street, metaphorically. And so what we do is we help people create a plan to create wealth through investing in prudent income properties on a nationwide scale all around the United States. And we teach people how to invest through the podcast, through our live seminars. We've got a free CD on our website that your listeners might want to take advantage of. That's at jasonhartman.com. And that's just a free CD they can get. I'm sure you probably have it yourself. And we educate, and then we do what we call the complete solution for real estate investors. The next step, we help them analyze their financial situation, design a portfolio. We help them acquire the properties, which is where the rubber really meets the road. And, right. You know, the reason I created this company, Michael, is because over the years, I've found that real estate is the best product for investment, but it's very poorly marketed. There isn't anyone mm-hmm. really providing a solution for the middle and upper middle class real estate investor. And right. or for the investor who's a novice and who just wants to get started, who can barely scrape together $12,000 or $15,000 to purchase their first rental property, okay? Mm-hmm. And there's no one out there that's really serving that consumer. And so that's why I created this company. And then we help the client with the ongoing maintenance, management, and monitoring of their mm-hmm. investment portfolio for the overall goal, the final fifth step in the complete solution for real estate investors, which is wealth creation and preservation. And that's what we do here.
Now, you mentioned you help with the ongoing management of the properties.
Yes.
I can imagine me being up here in Tacoma, Washington, buying a property in, say, Dallas or Charlotte, North Carolina. I may have one property there, and I know that somebody with one property may not be of the utmost importance to the property manager you have there. So you guys help out with that in that your volume kind of gives you a little bit of a strong influence in those property managers?
Absolutely. Very good point. Basically, what we do is we pre-screen and recommend property managers to our clients. Now, again, our clients can use whatever property manager they want. They can manage their own property if they want. But most of them follow our advice and they use the pre-screen property manager that we recommend. Okay. And what we do is we tell the clients to diversify in several markets. So if you were coming in and saying, hey, Jason, you know, I want to buy 4 or 6 properties, we would tell you to buy, depending on your needs and your goals as an investor, we would design a portfolio for you, recommend properties in various cities, but we would definitely tell you to diversify into several markets. And as we do this, you only represent one account to each property manager in each of these different markets. Yet right. we, however, have many clients that invest in each of these markets. And so we might have 75 clients that bought properties, for example, in Austin, Texas, or Kansas City, or whatever it is. You know, these okay. are some of the markets we like. And so we exert a lot of leverage over that property manager because through the Platinum Network, we are representing sort of a big account to them, if you will. And so if you sure. have trouble with your property manager, if they're not taking care of business for you, just email or call your investment counselor here at our office, and we will go and get on their case for you. And when we say jump, Michael, they better say how high, because
I'm sure they do.
We are a valuable account to them, yeah.
Yeah, that's one fear that like I said, me being up here, that's one fear that I need to overcome is being just one account to one of these property managers in a market that does make sense now, because right now I look around me in this near area and I don't see it making sense right now.
Right. And that's what happens with most of our listeners. You know, most of our listeners live in areas that they shouldn't be investing in. And so, mm-hmm. you know, one of our listeners might be listening to this now, might be in Austin, Texas. You know, we think Austin is a very good market in which to invest. Or right. if they're in Kansas City, we think that's another great market to invest in. But the problem is they would want to diversify anyway. Our investors don't usually buy just one property. They buy a few of them, or some buy, mm-hmm. you know, many, many, many of them. So you want to spread it around geographically. All real estate is local. Invest in the most historically proven wealth creator. Andrew Carnegie, I believe it was, who said, put all your eggs in one basket and watch that basket. Don't spread your right. eggs in too many baskets. But really, you can kind of have the best of both worlds there, because you can put all your eggs in the income property basket, okay, but spread around geographically so that you are diversified. In a country as large and diverse as the USA, there are a lot of different markets, and they act very differently, even at the same time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that is some great information to have about your company and what it is you're doing down there. I do have a few more questions, though, regarding your personal real estate investing, if you don't mind.
Sure. Go ahead.
You mentioned Robert Allen's Nothing Down. Do you have any other books you could recommend that have helped you in your real estate investing?
Yeah, the Robert Allen stuff is good. It's rather old, though. These books are books that were written 20, 25 years ago that I'm talking about.
Right.
Currently, I think that Robert Kiyosaki, it's funny, their names are both Robert, the Rich Dad, Poor Dad series of books, he has a lot of excellent materials. I think he's a very good educator, and I like Robert Kiyosaki's material. So mm-hmm. I would recommend certainly that anybody listening read Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Absolutely.
But some of the others might, you know, the real estate books that he does, I don't think those are particularly of interest to the listeners that we're probably talking to right now. But I like the book Who Took My Money. That was good. And just check out that series. But definitely Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the first book, is a good one. It's a good philosophical book that
sure.
gives some good advice.
Sure. And you mentioned a lot of the motivational, I guess you could say, icons of our time.
Oh, yeah, or ages past, really. Earl Nightingale, great motivator, great intellectual. He wrote a book that's out of print now, I believe, but it's called Earl Nightingale's Greatest Discovery. I love that book. Try and find it on the internet. It's fantastic. Og Mandino is fantastic. Dennis Waitley, Jim Rohn. There are so many of them out there that are just great mentors, great people to learn from. And, you know, the other thing I want to say is, to anybody listening, be very careful who you hang out with and who you listen to. Jim Rohn, who's a fantastic business philosopher, I've listened to a lot of his materials and read his materials. He says that the people, the friends you choose, when you get in the elevator and you want to push the up button, they might be pushing the down button. And you really got to be very careful who you let influence you. That fertile ground of our minds, we need to be very careful what we let go in there. We want to make sure it's positive, it's growth-oriented, it's life-affirming, it's goal-achieving, and it's good. And there's a lot of bad stuff out there in the media and a lot of negative people out there and naysayers and people who haven't done it. And anybody can do this. I mean, we live in the land of opportunity, and it is incumbent on all of us to take advantage of that opportunity and carpe diem, seize the day. Seize
sure.
the life. Make something out of your life. Make sure you have good influences.
Absolutely. Now, you did mention how we kind of got connected, how you do your podcast. I listen to that, and I'm starting my own podcast. Are there other podcasts or other audio-type things that you listen to that have helped you or that, I guess, enrich you today?
Certainly there are, and I've mentioned most of them already. I get a lot of audio books, and I read books as well. I wish I could read faster. It would be such a great tool to read faster.
Absolutely.
Wish I could speed read. There's a lot of good material out there. I can't say I really listen to any other podcast. I do on some very niche topics, and this may sound really egocentric, but I like my own pretty well.
No,
how do you like that?
Nothing wrong with that at all.
I'm a shameless self-promoter, and any of your listeners can get that at jasonhartman.com or on the iTunes. If you're an Apple iPod or iPhone user, you can just type my name into the iTunes store, and there are two of my podcasts on there. There's an audio and a video version. There's a lot of good material. It's just sort of hit and miss. I'd say the major life influences, though, are the people I've already talked about. And
sure.
On the investing side, specifically the financial side, Robert Kiyosaki does have a podcast, which I've listened to, but he doesn't really publish that many episodes. He's more into selling his material in the form of books and audio books and seminars
right.
and things like that.
Right. Well, like you said, you just mentioned jasonhartman.com. Is there a phone number that people can reach you at?
Sure. Our office number is 1-800-40-JASON, 1-800-40-JASON, and website jasonhartman.com.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Jason, for spending some time with us.
Michael, thanks for having me on, and good luck on your podcast and with your investments. I think what you're doing is really awesome, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And that was Jason Hartman, once again, president and founder of Platinum Properties Investor Network in Costa Mesa. You can find information on him at www.jasonhartman.com. So thank you so much for listening to the interview today. Like I've said before, I appreciate your feedback, so please email me at askmike@trashmaninvestor.com or go to my blog at www.trashmaninvestor.com and you can comment there as well. I've also started a Facebook group called the Trashman Investor Network. So if you're a member of Facebook, you can search for us there and join up. It's free to join, obviously. Hopefully we could have some relevant information put up there soon, and maybe organize an event or two if you're in the local area and would like to get together. So once again, thanks for listening, and I will talk to you soon.
I am your garbage man.